Now the real work starts, and this is where the general managers, team presidents, people like that have got to start making decisions as to who they're going to acquire, who they're going to give up. And both of these teams are right in the middle of all of this. There's so much being written about which teams are going to be selling, which teams are going to be buying. And there's going to be a lot of teams that, you know, that are all right there that have to make that decision. Do they think they have enough to make it as a wild card team or even win their division? Or is it time now to sell? And, you know, only one division really is out of hand, and that, of course, is the American League Central, where Detroit is 11 and a half games up. But everybody else, you know, there's probably about 10 teams that I think this morning you wake up, you say, you know, they have to trade some players. They got to move some guys. And now it's up to David Stearns and Brian Cashman to refortify their teams and fill the holes that they desperately need to fill to see if they can somehow keep up pace with the Dodgers and the Tigers. And because, you know, both of those teams are going to be adding. And the weirdest thing yesterday for me watching this All-Star game, obviously, and I think all Met fans realize this, there's Javi Baez starting in right in center field.
Yeah, well.
And then there's Pete Crow Armstrong starting in center field.
Yeah, I mean.
And then for Yankee fans, you got Gleyber Torres starting at second base.
Sure.
With facial hair.
Right. And the Pete Crow Armstrong, Javi Baez thing for sure is a tough one. It'd be a hell of a lot worse if the Mets were 15 games under 500 and struggling as a franchise. It's easier to digest with the fact that they went to the NLCS last year. They're a very good team again this year, but I found it interesting because, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, I absolutely am, but they're asking Pete Crow Armstrong about the Cubs and respect that they're getting in the season that they're having, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's nice to be mentioned, you know, with the powerhouses in baseball, like.
And he didn't mention the Mets.
He goes, the Dodgers and the Yankees, and then he stopped, and I was like, oh, like, I wanted him to say the Mets or the Phillies or whatever else, but I wanted him to say the Mets. And I mean, he is a big superstar. He's the SGA of MLB because he's PCA. He's on the red carpet with his girlfriend, who's an absolutely stunning woman. It's, I mean, he's living a life right now. But you know,
but this is the thing for guys like Cashman and Stearns. Right here, right now.
But this is a rare one.
I understand.
Usually you trade these guys, they turn into zeros.
But you know what's amazing is that they traded Pete Crow Armstrong for Javi Baez, and that was such a mess for the Mets.
Yeah, just terrible. The thumbs down. It was the first year of Steve Cohen. Lindor was here. It felt like he was getting. I mean, there was just a lot of bad apples in that clubhouse, and I think that, you know, once you got Stroman out and Baez out and some of these guys, that's when Francisco Lindor really became the leader that he is. That was a bad time for them, but I mean, it was also different management. You didn't have David Stearns there. Steve Cohen was still trying to figure it out, but I mean, so those are the things that I'm interested in because we know these teams are all in. I'm not questioning if they're all in or not, but there is a level of all in that. Do they cross that line or not? One is the Yankees, who have been very conscious of that luxury tax penalty and not going over that. They've been very conscious of that, and that is a fact. And the other is, you know, David Stearns valuing this farm system and building it back up, and they've talked so much publicly about having that farm system, developing these guys, having the best one in baseball, and who are you parting with to try to win a championship in this window?
Yeah,
you know, that would be the thing.
I mean, look, one team went to the NL Championship and the other team went to the World Series. I mean,
yeah, neither one of them won it, which they're trying to do.
But the point being is that we always talk about windows being open and talking about window throwers. This is where Brian Cashman and David Stearns have got to be window throwers because the windows are open, Biggs.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and the Mets are getting a little bit healthier, which is good. So they're going to feel like they're going to be able to, you know, step on the pedal here in the second half. You know, the Yankees have some serious, you know, filling to do. They've got to figure out third base, you know, and they have got to figure out what they're doing with their bullpen and their starting pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been so all over the place. So look, I'm just saying that if I'm sitting in one of those seats, I have to go for it. We have Juan Soto here for $765 million. You got the best player in baseball in Aaron Judge on the other team, across town. I mean, you can't be sitting around and doing nothing.
Well, there's
also
who's available and is there going to be a game changer? You know,
a million guys available.
No, but that puts you over the top. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, like, not every year. I mean, for example, the rarity that there was with Pete Crow Armstrong turning into the superstar that he is as a prospect that you dealt at the deadline. It's also as rare to make a trade like Yoenis Cespedes and you ride that guy to the World Series. So, like, we talk about this so much, and very rarely, I guess the Braves, when they won the World Series, had a great trade deadline. It was like pieces and pieces here. But, you know, a lot of these times, these guys that you bring in are, it really doesn't affect all that
but
much.
But at the end of the day, it's really about depth. It's about refortifying or rebuilding a position that has given you nothing but problems. And third base has created problems for the Yankees at second base.
I got to...
You know, and that's why they, you know, when you and I were off, they DFA'd...
DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu. I mean, and I think the pressure started mounting and mounting and mounting from Yankee fans over the last 3 weeks. And I would tell you a lot of that was coming from this radio station. It was over and over and over again that the Yankees had to do something. And I think that they quelled some of the they quelled some of the criticism by DFAing DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, I mean, he was absolutely awful. And I think that probably the main reason he stuck around so long is him and Aaron Judge are very close. And if they weren't, he would have been gone earlier than that. But yeah, I mean, that was a no-brainer at that point. And
well, you know, but what that is, that's a signal. That's a signal to the rest of the team. And that's also a signal to the rest of baseball that we're not messing around anymore. I mean, that's a guy who's highly respected. They gave him a contract. He, you know, was oft injured. And all of a sudden, you DFA a guy like that, and you kind of quell the fan base a little bit. But you're also saying to the rest of your team, hey, guys, look, man, we don't care who you are. We don't care what your history is. We don't care what you've done for us. You know, we're in this to win it right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if this happens to you, but as I've noticed as I've gotten older and more experiences, like, we talk about things, and then, like, the weirdest things pop into my head about, like, whatever topic we're talking about. And the 2000 trade deadline popped into my head.
Oh.
Now, let me see if these two guys in here, big Met fans, remember this deal. The Mets traded, I'll just put it, for an infielder at the trade deadline in 2000 who hit a home run in his first at-bat and then
saw someone wearing his jersey last week, so and it made me mad when I walked into Camden Yards.
Mike Bordick.
And you remember what they gave up for Mike Bordick.
Oh, my God.
Guy ended up having a very solid career. Was a decent rookie with the Mets, had a good career.
I don't have it.
Melvin Mora.
Oh, that's right. Melvin Mora. Yeah, and he was one of those guys that you really saw potential in. Yeah, and he ended up going to, yeah, Baltimore.
They panicked because of the Ray Ordonez injury.
Yep. And then he hits a home run. I remember he hits a home run to left field in his first at bat. And I'm like, yeah, Mike Bordick. This is awesome. It's just so funny. You know, it really is, all these moves. And that's why I think when I was talking about, like, you know, a lot of these moves don't really turn into much. You know, Mike Bordick pops into my mind because not everyone is Yoenis Cespedes. But, yeah, I mean, these are critical times for general managers.
But you know that if the Yankees can get a legitimate hitting and fielding third baseman, that would be huge for them.
Yeah, I mean, Arenado's still the guy, right? Suarez. Yeah. I mean,
Suarez.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to see, because the Hal Steinbrenner unwillingness to go that extra mile with it, like, they put the brakes on. Like, it's like, boom,
yeah,
that's
but they
it.
Just DFA'd DJ LeMahieu, and they're going to pay him. So,
but
I
that
mean,
didn't matter. That's not adding past
I
your
I know,
thing.
But it's paying a guy for doing nothing.
But I mean, that's not net, what the they've net, avoided
the,
doing
know,
in the,
but
past.
The Nets are the kings of that.
What they've avoided doing in the past is going past a threshold and paying more tax.
I understand.
So that's all.
This may be the year they may have to do it.
Yeah. Pressure's on, man.
I'm telling you, they, you know, it's funny listening to the station. I know the Yankee fan has the expectation of winning the World Series. I understand that. I know that. We all know that. We all are sick and tired of hearing that.
Mm.
I mean, that's been going on for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, when George Steinbrenner took over that team, it basically changed the way that people thought about that team, because he brought back the history and the pride back to the stadium. And, you know, and being the sole owner of the team, as, you know, and the spokesperson of the team, as opposed to having some corporation own the team and run it into the ground, you know, he brought back the pride. So now that pride has, you know, is grown into these expectations that know, you realize it's after a 162-game season and then a couple of playoff series, you get very few at-bats when you really think about it, when you're a baseball player like Aaron Judge and how everybody judges his playoff performance. I would just say that you have to go all in to try right now to get back to where you were last year. Anything other than that, people are going to be screaming about Aaron Boone. They're going to be screaming about Brian Cashman. I'm just, it's ad nauseum.
Yeah, I mean, right now, do you feel like either one of those teams, if they the Mets and the Yankees ran into the Dodgers, they would beat them in the playoffs?
I don't feel like that.
No,
I don't
no
feel like,
is the no. answer for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you also have the Tigers.
Well, yeah, but the Tigers are doing an amazing job in this regular season. And
you also have the Astros, too, by the way.
Right, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and the Yankees have to worry about those teams. The Mets have to worry about them in the American League. They're the defending champs, and they're the standard right now.
Right, I just think, though, for the Yankees, you got to figure out how to get better than the Astros. You have to figure out how to get, or at least catch up to the Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, how about winning your own division, getting back in first place?
Well, that's
one step at a time.
Toronto as well. I mean,
one step at a time.